Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and verses 35 to 41, and into Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. And so we read in verse 35 of Mark, chapter 4, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. In Hebrew, has vedom. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Mark 5, and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into a country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Yeshua, afar off, he ran, and he worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Yeshua, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, or Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the demons besought him, saying, Send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Yeshua gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Verse 14, And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city, and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done, And they come to Yeshua and see him that was possessed with demon and had a legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befall to him that was possessed with the demon, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the demon prayed him that he might be with him. However, Yeshua suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Yeshua had done for him. And all men did marvel. And I'm stopping here in Mark chapter 5 and verse 20, reading this long session, you might say long portion of scripture, Mark chapter 4, verse 35, into Mark chapter 5 and verse 20. Now, we are studying, of course, beloved brothers and sisters, the Gospel of Mark, in which Yeshua is presented before us as the servant of the Lord. He is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah said many years ago, 750 years about before the coming of the Mashiach, Isaiah predicted, and he said, Behold my servant. God is speaking. And he's presenting his servant, in Hebrew, Eved Adonai, Eved Elohim, the one that would come to serve him here in this world. But we know very well, beloved brothers and sisters, that Yeshua is much more than just a servant. He's much more than just a man. But according to the scripture, he's the Emmanuel, the God with us, of whom Isaiah said, You shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And if God is going to save us, sinners of the nations of the world, he must do something about it in sending the Mashiach, the Messiah himself, to enter himself to this world in order to accomplish redemption. You remember how the whole gospel had begun in the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of God. So when we are studying this gospel, we have to realize again and again that we are really learning about the person of Yeshua the Messiah and how he would provide redemption for us. And the proof that he was the Messiah is seen in the way he lived and what he did, how he spoke, the healing that he have accomplished here in this world, the proof that he was indeed the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of this world. Well, we just concluded in our previous ministry the study of the Meshalim, of the various parables that Yeshua have taught his disciples. The parable of the soils, if you remember, in chapter 4. Then at the end of chapter 4, he taught additional parables, those parables that represent what God is doing here in this world. And so now we are moving from the parables into some events that happen in the life of the Lord. You see, Jesus, Yeshua, is in control over everything that is going on here in this world. We might not quite grasp it, but chapter 4 from verse 35 and chapter 5 together represent before us the fact that Yeshua is in full control over everything that is going on here in this world. He is in control over danger. He is in control over demons. He is in control over the diseases. And he is even in control over death. He is supreme in control over every situation that exists here in this world. Well, chapter 4 and verse 35 on into the end of chapter 5 present before us four things that the Lord revealed his authority over. First of all, there was a danger. Later on, there will be demons. Then in chapter 5, later on, there will be diseases. And finally, even over death. He is in control over danger, over demons, over diseases, and even over the issue of death. So in chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, Yeshua is calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Now, I don't know if you have ever been in Israel. Some of us have been, obviously, with us to Israel. And if you would go to the Sea of Galilee, we call it the Kinneret, right there by the town of Tiberias, there's a little lake, you might say. It's about 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide. Very, very small lake. It's the only sweet water lake in Israel that provide water for our people in the land of Israel. In this particular lake, it's right below the mountains of Galilee. The Golan Heights is even further up on the border with Syria and Lebanon and so on. But this lake that is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide, at time experienced some amazing storm that comes suddenly when you are not even planning for that. Years ago, I remember we took a group to Israel and we were there on the Sea of Galilee. It's called Sea, even though it's actually only a lake. And it didn't take too long when the wind came from around through the mountains, you might say. And in no time, we found the little boat that we were in swept into the shore. Immediately we head to the shore so there will be no danger for anyone who remained there on the Sea of Galilee, on the Kinneret. Well, it happened to be here that Yeshua now is sitting. If you remember, he taught the disciples in parables. He was sitting in a boat, in a ship on the water, while the multitude were surrounded there on the mountains, listening to the teachings that Yeshua have taught there some about 2,000 years ago. He was tired. He just finished to teach the multitude of people, and now he tells his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." You notice that we read in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, at the same day, when the even was come, he says unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Now, it was the same day. You can just imagine, beloved brothers and sisters, multitude of people of these Israelis, Hebrews in the north and the south and the east and the west, all came to listen to the Mashiach, to the Messiah, what he has to say. Some were believers, some did not believe. Some were from the ordinary individuals that trusted in him. Others, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the religious leaders of Israel who did not accept him. But the multitude were there listening to the voice of Yeshua, the Messiah. And verse 35 of Mark 4 tells us it was evening. Erev. He's the whole day ministering to these multitude, and by now, he says, "Let us cross to the other side. The evening have come." So notice that. It says here, "Let us pass over to the other side." When he said, "Let us pass over to the other side," he meant it. He intended to arrive to the other side. And that reminds us, in a practical way, when we became believers in Yeshua the Messiah, we can be assured by typology here that the Lord will carry us through all the way to the other side, to the glory, to be in his presence. But all along the way, he will teach us many, many lessons. There will be sometimes storms in our lives. There will be sometimes difficulties and problems in our life. Well, the disciples assume when he says, "Let us cross over to the other side," they went into the ship, and with him together they began their journey on to the other side. So you notice what it says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 36, "When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship already." And there were also with him other little sheep. So what we really find out, that the disciples now took the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, and they started to sail to the other side. So wonderful to see that they obeyed him. They wanted to submit to what he had requested from them. And they began their travel to the other side. Now, I want to remind you, many of them were fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee, the Kinneret, very well. Every morning, some of them, like Shimon, Petros, and Andrew, and James, and John, were rising up every morning to fish because they were fishers of fish. But the Lord called them to become now fishers of men, to reach with the gospel to all around them. Well, look at this. As they are traveling, it says here in verse 37, a sudden storm of wind have arrived. And we read here in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Now, can you imagine, beloved brothers and sisters, when the wind is beating against a little boat, and when the water climbing, you might say, and going into the ship, and the whole ship is now filled with water? What would you do in a time like this? Again, I'm speaking from some experiences in my life. I'll never forget some days when Irene and I were traveling to Turkey. My dear wife Irene, actually it was with a group of people. We were crossing to the island of Patmos from Turkey. And all of a sudden there was a change in the weather. And I can tell you, almost all of us were laying on the floor with our stomach pain, and many of us threw up inside the cabins and wherever we were, because the change of the elements, the wind came and beat against the boat, and the wave took us sideways, and we did not feel comfortable for a while. It took about probably half an hour that we felt terrible. Well, look at this. The boat here in Sea of Galilee is filled with water. The wind and the waves are beating against the side of the ship. Can you just imagine how these disciples have felt in this time? And I, again, like to always make an application, because life is a journey. Everyone that believes in Yeshua, the Messiah, have to realize that when we first came to trust him, we receive forgiveness of sins, but we have a journey to go through, which the Lord may allow us to experience some storms and difficulties in our life. And sometimes we can be, you might say, dismayed. We are saddened and disappointed and discouraged. But the Lord teaches the disciples that part of following him is not only knowing theory and knowing the parables, the explanation that he explained to them in their head, but they also have to experience this in their life and in their hearts. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord, who is in control over the affairs of this world, allowed that great storm and of wind and waves to beat against the ship, so that it was now full of water. And as we see here very clearly, the water is filling the ship, the boat, and the disciples. Look at this, what we read here in verse 38. Yeshua, while this is going on, Yeshua goes to sleep. It says here, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awaken him, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, one brother suggested that the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, was still awake when the storm began. Because the very fact that they said to him, don't you care for us, as they said to him in verse 38, that we perish, it shows that he already have been awakened when the storm began, but intentionally he went to rest in the back part of that ship. He was actually testing them, teaching them some lessons that they need to learn as they going on that journey and moving along with him. And so we find out that the Lord was asleep. I mean, this is very moving, because how can he sleep when there is such a storm that fills the whole ship? Everybody is there in disarray, worried and concerned about their lives, but the Messiah is sleeping. How is it possible? You remember the story of Jonah? In Jonah, in chapter 1, we read of Jonah Hanavi, Jonah the prophet, that he also went to sleep when there was a storm there, when he took a ship from Jaffa away from the land of Israel. You remember, it was very much similar. The only difference is this. Jonah wanted to appease his conscience. Jonah was a disobedient servant of God. He was the one that really wanted to, you might say, to forget about his problems and his disobedience, and he went to sleep. But Yeshua, the Messiah, was the obedient servant of God, the Son of God, who knew that God will take care of every situation that is going on in his life. There is a verse, if you turn to Psalm 4 with me for a moment, look at this verse. The psalmist of Israel said, in Psalm 4 and verse 8, how the Lord is in full control over everything that is going on here in this world, and one can rest if he trusts in the Lord. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell safely. Psalm 4 and verse 8, that was the Psalm of David. When David obeyed the Lord, he could lay down to sleep, he could rest in the Lord, because he knew that God is in full control of his own life. And here we see Yeshua as a man. We see his humanity here. He lay down to sleep there in the rear part of the ship, of the boat. And you can see his humanity. He must have been tired. He had been speaking for so many hours on the Sea of Galilee to the multitude of people. And now is the time for him to just rest for a little while, but they don't let him, because it didn't take too long and the disciples are waking him, and they said to him, Master, Master, don't you care that we perish? And Yeshua, of course, cares. He knows the needs of his people, and indeed he does care for his own people. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we learn from this that God does care for his people. You know, God himself never go to sleep. He that keepeth Israel, neither slumber nor sleep, we read in the psalm. Shomer Israel, lo yanum velo yishan, the psalmist of Israel have said. God is always there ready to take care of his own people. So here we see the humanity of Christ, the humanity of the Messiah. He went down to sleep there in the back, the rear part of the ship. He was laying his head on a pillow, and the disciples were concerned for their life. I know that if I would be there, I would do the very same thing. I will seek to wake him up, because he was the one that could help in a time of storm. When problems are coming our way, he is the one that is able to calm the storm. So he woke up. He didn't have too long time to sleep, according to this passage. He arose, according to verse 39, and he rebuked the wind, and it said, he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This is very precious, that only God can calm the storms in the life of his people. Only the Messiah can calm the challenges that one is experiencing in his life. Here we can see that though he was a man, though he became a man, yet he was in control over all the elements that are existing in this world. He could say to the wind and to the sea, peace, be still, stop it. And immediately there was a calm. In that moment that he spoke, there was a calm there on that Sea of Galilee. In the book of Psalms, we read again, he spoke and it stood fast. Psalm 33, and verse 9. God speaks a word and is in control over the elements here of this world, and this Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach is in full control over all the elements that are here in this world. So his humanity is seen by his sleeping on a pillow, but his divine nature is seen when he is controlling the elements here in this world. Peace be still, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Wonderful to see. And again, the Sea of Galilee now, again, the disciples now can have this calmness after the storm that they have experienced here on the Sea of Galilee. But the Lord had to tell them certain things, like he had to tell us. He told them, notice that in the next verses, verse 40 and verse 41, he said to them, "Why are ye so fearful?" Then secondly, "How is it that ye have no faith?" You see, it is easy to trust the Lord when there is no storms and there are no problems. But it is another story, you might say, another experience in our life to trust the Lord when there are challenges and storms of life that arrive into each and every doors of our lives. There we need to believe and to trust Him. I can quote many verses that the people of Israel have learned from King Solomon and from King David and from the prophets of Israel. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy path, Solomon said to Israel in the book of Proverbs.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.